All right, it is good morning. It is 8:15. I'd like to call to order the September 6, 2022 Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee special meeting. I don't believe there are any guests, correct?
Correct.
The approval of participation by electronic means. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 All right. Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
If there's nobody else, okay. And any public comment?
I've not received any.
Item number
modification.
Oh, I'm sorry, modification.
Yes, I'd like to propose a brief discussion of where the budget committee is coming to. We'll discuss it in more detail at the next executive committee meeting, but it will require us to at least get where we're going.
Okay. So, go ahead.
And one other modification is Bill would like an opportunity to speak before we discuss the executive director contract.
Okay, so we'll put Dave in. Do we want to do that? Do you want to do that before we get into the...
Your call.
Let's do that. We'll add Dave's in and then Bill after that, and then we'll discuss the contract. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right.
You and I are going to do a lot of that to make
sense. I know. All right. Take time.
Well, yeah. We got Tom up there.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That the agenda has been modified. All right. Then there is no public comment. All right. So, Dave, you're up.
All right. The budget committee's met. I will give a very brief summary of what it's looking like, and then we'll get into more of the weeds at the next meeting. Basically, the total operating income, with all the stuff that moves around, is somewhere around $13,630,000. Expenses, however, are going to be more than that. The bottom line comes down to about a $402,000, almost $403,000 negative loss, actually loss. We add into that the capital expenditures for elevators, new computers, all of that. We're looking at a $663,900 loss next year for the budget. Cash flow, we get down to where the cash flow is going to drop $1.1 million. So these are things that all the board member needs to be aware of. I will tell you that we've exhausted look at the expenses. There's nothing in there that's really fat. There's nothing we can really cut out. The big problem is we just got to get the revenue built up. We got to get spaces leased, and that's the only way to overcome it that I see.
Okay, so step back one moment. We have a plus or minus $700,000 operating deficit.
Correct.
But there's a $1.1 million.
We've got to make some contributions to the project and so on.
I've got it up here if you want to see it. So the operating expenditures are net. I'm sorry. Net operating income is a loss of $402,000, $403,000. That's this number right here.
Before the elevator is built.
Yeah, and then you have CapEx of $261,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's $664,000. But then we're going to have another. I broke out Northport Innovation Lab so it wouldn't muddy the waters. But you're going to have another contribution of $470,000 towards that, which we had planned for anyway.
Right.
And this all assumes that we're making certain contributions this year as well. Mm-hmm. So if the timing of that may push it into next year, which could change that number. But so what I did is I updated this, which is what we looked at before, just so you kind of get a sense of where we're at in 2 years. So after this year, at the end of this year, we expect to be with cash in the bank of about $75,000. If we make the $1.3 million in contributions to the Norfolk Innovation Labs project, that puts us at about $2 million in investments. So we have that cash, that in investments, here's the forecast, the 663,000 plus the matching contribution or the 1.1 from the budget, which leaves us around at the end of fiscal 2023. And then you take the prior net operating loss, no additional CapEx included in that. I backed out the search fee that's in this number, some of the major maintenance items that were in this number, added back the portion of the elevator's income that gets reimbursed by FSU, and then some other grant revenue that's not recurring, subtracted that out. So that puts us about, again, in the same ballpark, around $388,000. So that would leave us with about $600,000 at the end of 2024. Assuming nothing else changes, no rent income changes.
That's good to hear.
And that includes, keep in mind, that includes, we still have to pay the search fee. We still have to pay, we're going to be paying an extra salary for the business manager.
That does not include anticipated staffing needs in advance of opening.
Right, and that's, but we, yeah, it's a zero-based budget. It's what right. We know. It's not, does not include what we don't know.
It includes any revenue either from us. I think that's correct.
Right.
But the revenue gets membership fully consumed.
Well, it's how we do things. It's not optimal from my perspective because it doesn't allow forecasting. And I think one example is we have very positive indications that we may be funded by the CDA grant. If so, we'll have obligations against that, but we can't recognize that as a forecast and then reconcile the forecast against actual.
Again, there's a difference between budget and forecast.
Right.
We can forecast it, we just don't budget it.
Right.
Because we budgeted big grant revenue for this past year and didn't get it.
That's correct.
And unfortunately, yeah. If you budget revenue and you budget expenses against it,
yeah,
then you start spending money you don't have.
Right. So we have to forecast.
Yes, we can forecast, but this is the budget. It's a whole different animal.
So anyhow, we're looking at a $663,900 deficit in the budget next year. And then cash flow gets worse.
And so, Ron, can you scroll back at the top of the sheet? And so our current cash balance.
This was as of the end of July, was $175,000. I was forecasting about 10 grand more coming off of that for the last 2 months of the year, August, September. And then the funding from the Collins or the expenditures for the Collins renovation being that the other big chunk of known.
All right. So essentially, our balance sheet in the next 24 months, our balance sheet is going from effectively a $2 million down to $600,000 or $700,000.
$600,000. Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah,
I mean, Bill's got a good point. I mean, this is what the budget committee approved. And Bill has a good point. Yes, we need to be looking at that going forward. But if we start forecasting, then we also have to forecast, rent revenue, other things that we think we're going to get. But we also have to put a plan together to generate those things.
That's right.
Now, we did put in this budget $31,000 in for marketing towards trying to get space leased. So it's not, I mean, that's, to me, that's the best we can do to start working towards generating more revenue is to, we need some marketing dollars. So that's in.
Okay.
The intent of this was just to sort of give you the kind of the ballpark of where this is at before in advance of the 22nd, I believe, is when we have our regular executive committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to overwhelm this meeting with the discussion, but just a refresh of memory, because this is, I think, very similar to what we had discussed before.
Can we have just hard copies of those two tabs before we leave today?
Yeah.
That'd be great. That's great. We have pocket information. Thank you all for putting that together. That's helpful and insightful.
It really pulls out the absolute necessity to get more space leased.
And then if you want to see that, I think, which is helpful, I think this is what we looked at the other day. I can't recall if we looked at that in the other meeting, but so this is the available square footage. And this is just an average rate, market rate that we think we can get. So that would generate $625,000 in rent. This is our typical marginal cost of leasing, which is just utilities, janitorial utilities. And then this is the gross profit from that. We leased 100%. You know,
that's assuming 100% lease.
Yes. So, you know, if it's 80%, you're talking $320,000. And that's assuming getting $17 a foot.
And has the discussion about approaching FSU with some discount to entice them to make an earlier decision advanced in?
So we have a new vice president for research, Dr. Stacy Patterson, who will be starting in October.
By the way, she has COVID right now, or just getting over COVID.
So I had a meeting that was scheduled, but for just complexities, we're rescheduling. Obviously, this is one of the topics. The additional 36,000 square feet is one of the topics that I want to bring to her. So, haven't had the conversation yet. I am working with her office to set it up.
And Tom has sent me his first ideas about what that discount structure ought to look like, and continuing to work on that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we need to, as soon as we can, get that meeting, get that process started. I don't know where they're at in their planning, about how they plan for space and what their normal cycle is for that.
Unfortunately, the decision maker won't be here in person locally until October. And so there's a substantial amount of information you can appreciate that she's assimilating right now. And obviously Innovation Park is locationally is a big deal to FSU research. And we'll have that conversation just as soon as I can.
We also, in the budget meeting, discussed with Dr. Friday Stroud what FAMU needs might be, and in particular with the prospect that we already have. And she's going to try to help facilitate moving that decision-making along. We've got a situation between a dean and a provost trying to figure out who's going to pay for what, and if they can. So,
okay.
Just to review, how many new faculty is she expected to hire, Stacy?
I know that there are conversations about increasing that. That's just not... I don't have that information top of mind.
I've heard it's a pretty substantial number.
Yeah, I think the president had a big number that he tossed out during the keynote at the chamber conference.
Was it over 100?
It was.
I thought Eric said 120.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too. But 120 offices, that's going to require some space.
It is, and I don't want to overcommit what sure. I don't have firsthand. I heard the same conversation that was presented, but I don't have any additional detail behind that. So I don't want to get out of my skis.
All right, you see the numbers and you see how important they are to us.
Very good. Anything else on that topic?
No, sir.
Dave, thank you for putting that together. Bill?
Okay. Just a couple of things to say, and I don't have 50 slides today. I spent a lot of time thinking about this conversation. Since the 21st of July, when Ron resigned. And you'll recall, I used Mike Tyson in the slide, and it had to do with everybody has a point until they punch in the face. I'll spare you the slide. I'd like to add Ben Franklin, who says, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And in my opinion, this board has no plan. It has an idea, but it does not have a plan that will be effective to replace Ron's, what we agree is 80 hours a week of productivity by October 14th. And further, given our tight budget needs, I don't think this board can afford $250,000 to invest in 40 hours of personnel, human resource time by doing a national search for an executive director. And I would ask that this group reread the job description and carefully evaluate whether investing $250,000 and 6 months of time to find somebody. And if you Google the average amount of search time, that's what we're looking at. Going into a human resource deficit on October 14th. This failure to plan will result in us having significant operational issues because other than the executive director, the only person that can approve expenses is the board chair. And we will have to transition many, many contracts and agreements. Otherwise, we run the risk of not operating after that time. Now, I'm overstating things because we still have 184 hours gross of Ron's time left, but that's it. Unless he agrees to a consulting agreement, and I know we have pitched it several times. I will say that as part of the hiring committee for the office manager, which is extremely critical to continue operation, personally, I've been underwhelmed with the response, and I don't think we'll have somebody in place before Ron leaves. So, and I have said this to Ron, and I didn't say it today. He asked, how are you doing? I'm doing okay. However, in the interval, many of the responsibilities have been added to my plate, and which is okay. And I shared this with Ron and with Dave. As a cancer survivor, I am mission-driven and not entirely economic-driven. And economically, I've taken a step back this year with inflation and other costs, which is okay. I am mission-driven, and I am not on a suicide mission. And what I've said to Ron is that delaying decisions or making the wrong decisions will or may make the role that I currently occupy untenable. And so I would strongly encourage this board not to invest $250,000 in an executive director for which the incremental activity against what we agree are the simplified objectives, which is get this thing built, get it funded, and get the resources to operate it. Number one. Number two, lease the 30,000 square feet. Anything else is nice to do, but it's not what we need to do. We don't have the staff support to do what we're being asked to do now. And I laid that out very concisely, in my opinion, in my way of being concise. We've got to create operational structures which don't exist now. And this is not a one-man show or one-woman show. I believe, and again, that This is a unicorn search. You're looking for somebody that will have magical powers to do these top two things, some of which has to get done in the next 180 days, or equipment won't be installed at the time that it needs to get installed. The EDA expects us to do this, but what we're accountable for are the programmatic impacts that we create with this. Currently, we don't have the staff or the funding or the programmatic impacts that are expected of us. So I would strongly encourage that we take the 170 plus the search fee plus a potential relocation and reallocate those funds into the human resources that we essentially need right now while we have 184 hours gross of Ron's time left. Otherwise, this organization runs the risk of serious operational failure. And I will tell you that search firms look at me as well. So the risk of additional turnover, as I pointed out on the 21st, before Ron resigned, is real. And it is, we're at a really critical point. And so that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to pair it with, if we agree that these are the objectives, that anything else is nice to do and it's not need to do. And if you read the job description of what we're advertised, I currently do many of these things. And if the person is from outside of this market, I will be required to cross-train that person as well, because they will not have the institutional knowledge, the local market, the statewide knowledge. I'm okay with that, as long as we can continue to do what we need to do to get this done. Greatest risk, greatest reward. If we're looking at the future, the vision of the park, this is it. Anything else is speculative. So that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Please.
Because Bill and I have not discussed it. Just so you know, I think he's absolutely right. The question I have, Bill, is what is the alternative that you see?
My question is the same, and then I want to respond.
Yeah, if it's not to go hire an executive, do a national search for an executive director, what is your suggestion?
Yeah, I anticipated this question. The failure planning fail piece, we need to immediately redeploy resources in the form of administrative resource so that we can document all the processes that are needed. We need to plug in resource contractually or through vendors. As an example, IT we run the risk of failing on the 14th if we don't replace that competency. So we need to bring in temporary employment, continue to hire, and utilize contract services. I'm sparing you all the slides, but we agreed that Ron's time is worth 80 plus hours equivalent other human resource time. That's not adding to what we'll need to do to be successful. It also doesn't anticipate the need to operate this facility. It doesn't anticipate Ron suggested what might be helpful for the board, and I began to do this, but it was 50 slides. Put together a list of your current tasks and activities. And I got to many, many pages without going to my job description. And so what is currently on my plate is more than one person can do. And when you consider, let's say, what's not on the plate, all the government relations, meeting with all of the elected officials, local, state, doing all of the grant writing, that there's been sort of a flippant comment. Well, Bill, that's bills. And in the interval, since Ron has resigned, I have become the default interim. I get the text from Greg Vidae at the EDA. I represented Innovation Park at the Florida League of Cities. We're coordinating a visit from Greg. So what I would respectfully recommend is that the role of the interim executive director is combined with the director of Northport Innovation Labs. And if you look at the job description, that's in the first paragraph of the job description. And we reinvest judiciously the resources, outsourced and selective employees in-house, and redeploy the 170 or whatever the number is, because we have deep financial challenges that are fixed with marketing and leasing up the space. And we still have to go out and find $1.5 million in the next 6 months to minimally operate this facility. So that's what I would strongly recommend to this board. The other point that I want to make is that what's challenging for all of us is that the organization is structurally myopic. You can't know what's going on at a granular level because it could come before the board. So there's a level of detail this organization will never see unless there's some mechanism, and I think we've identified that, which is separate board for the lab and an advisory committee, so that it has more latitude to become a working group. You know, we got 11 members of the board, we got 3 people to do everything at Innovation Park. We need more arms and legs. And so that's why I would strongly recommend that we take the precious resource that we have and redeploy that in a way that aligns with what we agree are the simple objectives that this board has to move forward. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ballroom of the Titanic. I mean, that's the message. There's a challenge with what you've described, and I don't disagree with much of your premise. The area where I have substantial challenges, it kicks the can down the road of bringing in a leader who has the professional skill set to take on executive director of a research park. We've allowed ourselves to get in a situation. This conversation could get hugely uncomfortable. I agree with your assessment of where we're at. I also agree that we are lacking a plan, not because of effort, but because of how the LCRDA is structured and the ability to move pieces, chess pieces around the board happens at the speed of dirt because of the structure. I'll tell you that outside of this, outside of conversations with this board, I know I have individually, and I'm guessing that other people are thinking through the exact same issues that you're describing. I appreciate the boldness and the spine that it requires. to bring the topic forward. I appreciate that very much. And I'm not in disagreement with you, with the exception of, I don't think we have the ability to put off finding an executive director. I think that has to be front and center. Now, there is an alternative to this. I think that we need to spend some time on a parallel path, understanding that when we sign this document, we do commit ourselves to at least part of a search fee. If once we engage, we're committed. We may need to examine ways to restructure LCRDA. For the reasons that Bill described, and honestly, look back, we're 42 years old. We're not doing this well. We're simply not. The board is everybody comes into this with the best intentions. But in 42 years, we have not been able to create a dynamic environment that commercializes research, that has grown a vibrant research ecostructure. We have not done that. And if we do not act decisively, Dave's information only exacerbates itself. And in 2 years, we are in full crisis. So we need to understand what those alternatives are. I have two ideas that I am working on. I am not prepared to bring them forward this morning. Either idea is premature until I can have some additional conversations that people with people who can help implement from the outside. I do not believe that there is an opportunity. I think if we push this off, the executive director search, I think we are asking for I think we are placing ourselves in a deeper crisis mode. That's my opinion. Thoughts?
I've got two thoughts. One is, I would respectfully disagree with your assessment of where Innovation Park is. I would say that Innovation Park, as you said, is at a tipping point, and that's due to the success that Ron's had over this last decade. It was a mess. And now it has the attention, the growing attention of a destination for innovation and monetizing research. And that's due to the success that Ron has made incrementally and then geometrically earlier this year with the funding of this project. And if you look along that timeline, their Danfoss expansion is huge. IRCB, the HPMI, all of these things have come out of the ground since Ron has been here. And I think that, so I would respectfully disagree that we're not on a trajectory for massive success. The other point that I wanted to make is we're not FSU. Meaning that what's appropriate for FSU to do a national search may not be appropriate for us. And the reason I say that is because the Research Foundation had more than one employee. which is why they could function in the interval while they did a national search for a friend that's coming in October. We're not in that same circumstance. When Ron goes, we lose 80 plus hours a week of essential function. So, and I'm not here to debate. I want to be as clear as I can be, because this job, this role that I currently have is important to me. And I want to share as much as I can with this board to empower the board to make good decisions, because time is not our friend. We have essential things that will need to happen, otherwise we break down or we sub-optimize this greatest opportunity that we have so far. So
I think, last two meetings, just to be very frank, it's information that we haven't, it's new information. It's processed that information, just like today. I feel very much the same way, caught off guard. I would prefer, and certainly other board members and governors can weigh in with the feedback that they have, that with matters of this type and your thoughts, that it be shared prior to a decision point of a board meeting or where we're coming to make the decision, because it allows for thinking to occur. We're on a path today for this particular item, because again, we are stuck in a quandary. And it has nothing. I think part of the problem is that when you talk about it, you refer to it as the wrong piece. I don't. I think it's more of the position and the evolution of where this organization is going, more so than the work of Ron or anybody else, or this board for that matter. There were a lot of great things that happened over the last 10 years that moved us to this point. We have recognized that with the whole idea of Northport Innovation Lab, it requires something else. So though I'm cognizant, I appreciate what you're saying, I just feel like that if we get stuck and saying that we want to keep normal, which was the old normal, when this takes us to a new normal, when do we ever get there? I'm not being dismissive about staff. I believe staff is critical. I'm just trying to figure out, as all the other board members are too, figure out fairly quickly when they hear this new information of, okay, where does this get plugged in now? Because this is new. We're all wanting to do the right thing and the good thing for this organization. We don't want it to fail. We don't want it to be the Titanic. And I don't think it's from a lack of planning. We literally just learned of this two meetings ago. And so we're trying to navigate what this is. So, I mean, there could be some thought of like, okay, maybe it should have been communicated sooner. I don't know. We don't want to point fingers. We do want to move forward. I just think it's just a tough time. And I think it's one that it will require the skill sets that this board has stated that we need for the position. And at the same time, we're going to have to figure out, and I don't know if that's through being creative with working with some of our partners, whether it's the university, is there staff that can offer support in the interim in some of the key functions that we need, since this is for the benefit of this entire community? I don't know, but I think that we need to, at this juncture, not leave anything off the table, because I get it. You can't turn into Ron plus Bill. I feel like that oftentimes at my job as well, but we can't not be thinking about the future. We can't not be thinking about the future. And I don't think you're not thinking about the future, Bill. I just think that you have a different way that you believe that we ought to pursue. And I'm just saying, I don't want to be dismissive. I just want this information that you have sooner so that I can process it accordingly, so I don't feel like I'm going to a knee-jerk to address what staff needs. At the same time, we're on a path to try and do something at the governance level that does address our future. So I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, Governor Moore, I presented this information at the emergency board meeting on August 1st.
Right.
And I presented it again at the Board of Governors meeting on August 4th.
Yeah, so I'm referring to the two executive meetings. Yeah, the I heard it the first time for the executive committee meetings. If you did a repeat the second time, so I'm saying two times.
If I could just, I know Dave's probably got something, but I just want to kind of what I see happening right now is, you know, the board is trying to look long term. And long term, is there an opportunity to get somebody to come in and really help guide this beyond the North Fork Innovation Labs? What Bill has to deal with is the reality of what happens on October 14th. That and up until the point and shortly thereafter of opening that facility in about a year and some change. Okay, so the reality is, if we don't do something now, and if it's not today, it's got to be maybe next week. You need a plan. You need a plan, a near term plan. How do we get from October 14th? And actually, we've been trying to get it since the day I announced, because we knew, you know, 90 days is not a long time, and there is some institutional knowledge that needs to be passed. Okay, so the problem, you've got a long-term solution, but we have a near-term problem.
You say it's a long-term solution. One of my solutions is an interim solution.
Okay.
So again, when's our next meeting? I'm just not prepared to bring it.
We have one scheduled for next Tuesday.
Okay.
I don't know if everyone's committed to attend that yet, but I do think that as a bare minimum, I do think you need to, because you will not have an executive director named by October 14th. I do think you need to name Bill as an interim executive director so that decisions can be made, operating decisions can be made on a real-time basis. Unfortunately, you know, in operations, you can't always give everybody all the information, you know, 4 weeks in advance. Somebody's got to make decisions. And as Bill is saying, he's already getting a lot of this pushed onto him. But if there's no one else in place, you need to have somebody, and he needs to be compensated accordingly. And as I've offered, you know, I'm willing to do a few hours a week just to, you know, do the bare minimum. But that's not indefinite either. And it doesn't have to be a contract. It could even just be a part-time basis. We wouldn't have to go to that much trouble. But as a matter of fact, the IRS would prefer that. It's just, we need a plan for the near term. How do we get from today to October 14th, and from October 14th, what happens on the 15th?
Hey. I really feel, and I really share Bill's frustrations. We see a lot that has to happen in a very short time in the absence of staff to make some of that happen. So I'm very concerned. I'm very appreciative of what he's bringing to the table. Now let me add another concern. We applied, asked for applicants to come in for the business manager's position. We assembled a number of applications. We agreed to look at four in more detail. Of the four, one informed us the day before that she had accepted the position somewhere else. Another one failed to even show up. Two came for interviews. One of those had not submitted an application, and after the interview, agreed to submit it, but never did follow up and submit an application. The fourth one that we interviewed had just tons of great experience with real estate matters, could manage the asphalt, could manage rental properties, could manage all kinds of stuff on the real estate side. On the financial side, I didn't feel at all that he had the budgeting and forecasting, the strategic planning, the financial planning analysis, the policy and internal control issues. And so I thought, when he addressed half of what we needed, the other half was not there. And so in my opinion, I was not willing to recommend to the board in that position. So we struck out entirely on trying to find the business manager position. That's months now before we can get that position filled. And so the frustrations begin to mount up. My report to you is that at this point in time, as a board member who was asked to serve on that committee, we struck out entirely.
Dave, I apologize.
You don't disagree?
I don't recall that was the decision that we came to.
That's my position.
No,
that's
I mean
only my position.
Well,
I know, but
you might have a different one.
But we had agreed as a committee that the second candidate was a potential hire, did we not? Bill, is that your recollection?
I think what I said is he could likely do the job. Yeah, I think there's the first candidate was head and shoulders above the second. And,
yes.
The second candidate.
But the first one never followed up.
That's correct. I think the second candidate could do the job. And overall, and the way I would characterize it is I was underwhelmed with the response and the quality. We certainly did not have what I would call an aha moment. This is the puzzle piece that fits.
Okay, I don't mean to rehash all this. I just I had a different recollection of what the next steps were going to be, and the direction that I had received was that we would go to candidate number one, pending getting the application, and if that didn't work out, then we would go to candidate number two. But you're telling me that's not the case.
Well, I'm telling you, my own opinion is. Candidate number one would have worked for us. He simply said, well, I'm accustomed to making six figures.
Yeah.
And
I agree with candidate one. The question is candidate two a viable candidate?
In my opinion, candidate two was not a viable candidate.
That was not my answer.
I sort of hear he was underwhelmed too.
Well, so I said, hang on. It sounds like based on this conversation that candidate one was qualified, candidate two striving for mediocrity. I'm just not okay with that. I mean, not in this position.
And that's fine if that's the decision, but I'm just looking for clarification because that's not the direction I was given from the committee meeting.
I will clarify. I said I think he could do the job. He would likely need a lot more.
Yeah. And that's fine if that's the decision. And with that clarification, we will not proceed with number two then.
Well,
I think the committee needs to read.
Yeah, we'll
figure that out. I have to tell you, that gives me great moment of pause. Yeah. Just all I know is what the conversation that is taking place this morning. Yeah. But just based on the temperature of that conversation, it gives me great moment of pause.
I don't know if we need another meeting. I will simply say to you right now, I cannot accept that position.
Then that's fine. We won't pursue that because I'm not going to support a candidate that you all can't live with.
Who's on the panel?
Just the three of
There's
us.
There's a
four. So, and it's not a public committee
because there's only
one board member. We can have that conversation. Yes. No problem. But I just. And now that hearing this, which is different than the what I recall from our conversation. And
I apologize if I missed
it. It was not clear that my understanding was we were going to move to the second candidate. So, but if that's not the case, we will not.
Okay, so.
But that does make it clear that we have no one in place on October 14th.
All right, so here's what I'd like to suggest for our meeting this time next week is that in addition to, I still want this executive committee to approve moving forward with the OPUS contract. I think that's mission critical. In addition to that, I think that we need to be prepared next week, Tuesday of next week, to have a conversation about the interim plan. Clearly, it's necessary. And I would hope that in that conversation that we're not showing up to start a conversation, but that the executive committee are bringing ideas of what those opportunities might look like. I have two or three things that I will be prepared to offer on Tuesday.
But not in advance of the meeting? We won't have anything to share?
If I have something in advance,
okay.
I'll provide it to you so that it can be disseminated.
Okay. And that's the reality of the situation that we're in is we're week to week and we're going to have to make some quick decisions because what are we down to 6 weeks?
184 hours gross.
Well, it depends on whether you use the 80 hour formula or the 40.
Okay.
And just to clarify, I don't work 80 hours a week, but
And I'm not sure the two for one is the exact formula, but I appreciate that thought. Yeah.
I will say it's greater than that.
I mean,
it's greater than that because of the skill set you bring financially and the other skills for which we would expect to pay vendors,
yeah,
like IT, like human resources, like, and again, I'm not trying to suck off the run.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to.
There's no benefit.
Yeah, I know.
But, I also wanted to add, I did reach out to Allison Carroll at Thomas Halpert's and asked her opinion about the ability to go out and hire an interim CFO, if you will. And what I'm told is in this market, what that gets you basically is a bookkeeper. That the interim CFO are not typically more advanced. So that does not look like a real viable option at this point. But if there's another resource in the community, and one thought that comes to mind is potentially reaching out to Vince Long, Leon County, and see if they have some resources that we could contract with. Isn't that what happened previously with the change when the previous executive director was let go? Leon County contracted to provide some resources.
Well, more than just the previous, even further back than that.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Before the previous one, when
we had the collapse.
Yes.
Leon County did step in. That was 12 years ago, I believe, about, and did provide on an interim basis some, basically, I think, financial skills for us, which since I think outsources a good bit of that. I'll tell you how I kind of begin to see where we are. We have objectives. What we don't have is action plans. And I think we've got to get to the point to where we move beyond objectives and have written action plans with specifics, dates, times, who's going to do it, and so on. And that's what has to be, I think, agreed upon, reduced writing, and us get to moving with.
And I think we can memorialize a plan, but the challenge is that our plan involves human capital, which nobody can come up with a date for. That's the unfortunate piece.
Well, that's number one on the action plan. and we are attempting to address that.
Yeah.
But on the business manager plan, we struck out first time at bat. I think we've got to re-advertise that position.
I agree.
Reach out to wherever we know there might be associate supports in the field or wherever, but I want to start over on that one right away.
It's still up. I checked and there was one out within, but that's a,
I would start. Assuming it still works the same way, I would take it down for 2 or 3 days and then repost it so that it's a new posting. Just my personal experience has been, you can have just a horrible candidate pool in one search and then do it again a week later and have a completely different result. So I have experienced that personally.
Yes,
those old algorithms.
Mm-hmm. Take it back to the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we will certainly do that. And I'll reach out to the county just to see if they have any ideas on what might be possible.
Yeah. Okay.
I would, and I'll bring this to the board's attention. I would encourage the board to read the EDA grant application that we submitted, because that provides part of the detail that you are requesting, including the funding of positions and the timing of those hires. It's not a complete plan, because when you write grants, you have to write it for the funder, and so, but it is a detailed plan with a budget adjusted.
You're talking about the $750,000?
Yes, yeah, and it does address the hiring, it anticipated the hiring of business manager, which will have been a commitment should we receive funding. We expect to hear one way or another in September whether we get funding or from the legislature for this land plan. And at that point, we'll need to execute, and that if we don't have any executive director, that would be something that the chair needs to do. And we also anticipate hearing in the month of September whether we receive this EEA grant, and we'll be obligated to make the financial match commitments at that point. So anyway, just a couple.
Again, the business manager is in the budget. I mean,
that's right.
That's part of doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We contemplated that.
Yeah.
But,
I tell you, I'm not clear at all, Bill, and I'd like you to bring me up to date what the staffing requirements will be when this facility is opened up. I don't know what we're talking about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever, part-time, full-time, high-tech people, low-tech people. I don't know what that
is. That's in the grant. I mean, basically, that is the grant.
I don't know it. And I'd like to have a review of that.
Yes, sir. And we'll reshare the current pro forma, which has a staffing plan integrated and includes the timing of the hiring of the staff with the EDA grant application.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Yes. And at full staff, how many people are we talking?
Well, that is difficult to say. What we've done is we've done it as a minimally viable operational staff. And I'll tell you, for just the programmatic pieces, Domi has a staff of 8. Some of those are part-timers. So what I would like to do is come back and present the pro forma and the EEA in the next, and we'll include that information in advance of the next meeting. I'll also share some insights that I have developed in researching this space and understanding what the state of the present is in comparable facilities across the country, which will include business development grant writing. And some competencies that are either personnel or contracting source.
Let me just ask another really wild question. Would there be anything for us to gain if we approached Domi and tried to merge these two organizations?
That has been suggested to me previously.
From this organization or from outside?
From outside this organization. I think the timing is premature. That structure is exactly how Gainesville operates. They have an in-town accelerator, and they have a high-tech lab. And they use the same staffing structure to operate both facilities.
Except it's a university.
It is. Program. There are some clear differences. But that's something that's done in other markets.
Mr. Chair, I just asked that at some point we evaluate whether there are benefits to the two organizations if we were to consider combination of them.
So just clarification, are you saying North Florida Innovation Labs and Domi or LCRDA and Domi?
Well, without a lot of thought, I think I'm seeing LCRDA, but I haven't dwelled on that long enough to know.
Yeah, operationally, the way that typically, and on a P&L basis, it can live any way it wants to. What we have also contemplated in this operation is combining the other half of Collins, which is being renovated as we speak, with a membership structure and access control systems that also operate the lab so that folks can schedule space in either building. Now, the pro forma can and probably should operate separately because of the asset tracking and performance tracking that LCRDA needs on a per building basis. But that's what is contemplated now, is that Collins becomes onboarding the lab, and as companies grow, provides additional space should they need that. And it will be membership structured. And operationally, one set of access control systems to minimize the staff needs.
And Dave, I think practically you couldn't really combine LCRDA and DOMI. You could easily combine North Florida Innovation Labs and DOMI.
Because it's nonprofit.
Well, special district versus nonprofit entities. Yeah. I mean, the similarities of what the two do, that would not be a huge challenge.
I don't have a preference where it sits. I don't even know if it will work.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they'd be acceptable for discussion.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's benefit to us for it.
There might be some economies, which is really what you're going to at the base level, some economies, but I don't think it's big enough.
No, I think it adds a layer of complexity.
Yes,
that's particularly in advance of getting our basic needs funded and put in place.
I think you look at that down the road, but yeah. As he said, the complexity of it right now would not add to. I think it would just make it worse.
Let's have this conversation.
This is a conversation that will fit into what we're asking to address next week. So
maybe that's further down in the strategic plan.
I think it is.
Yeah, I'd like to ask that we reel it back and start thinking about, you know, what we're going to do short term to, you know, to survive. I mean, we got, and Bill, I don't want to add to your plate because I know you're already overloaded, but if you could, what's that? I'm sorry.
No, please continue.
Yeah. If you could put together your idea of a plan that's just as brief, maybe a flow chart that you draw the symbols on, I don't want to make you work hard, that you think would work. Because I thought we were planning the way you had described in our past couple of meetings with a executive director, a business manager, and I thought we were on the path that you had described. And if you could to me just put a short and not no effort, and it can be done in crayon for all I care. Just here's the plan that I think we should execute to survive. I mean, we kind of have seen the iceberg and our captain, you know, fell down or fell off the ship, and we got to figure out how to turn the ship. And
didn't jump ship.
I'm sorry?
That he didn't jump ship.
Yeah, well, whatever. Whatever. He's gone. And we got to figure out how to turn the ship.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Tom. I agree with that. Okay. Any other discussion on that item?
I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me.
I think it's a very important discussion. I appreciate you putting it on the table.
Absolutely. Okay. So what was item number six, executive director position search? You have in front of you the contract, the scope of Opus Partners. I assume everybody's had a chance to review that. We've worked with Opus, with Ron, with Melissa. We received the original contract that was not an FSU contract. It was actually University Texas contract, which is what we piggybacked from. There were some the primary differences in their contract versus ours is that University of Texas, they do multiple searches every year, up to 20 searches a year. And so there was some beneficial pricing in there. I think we've through our negotiation with them and through this in this document, we have received the benefit of that. It's not substantially different than what we talked about, but it's a 28% fee. You've had a chance to look at it, review. What are your questions, comments?
I had a concern that they had a two-year off limit where they would come back and try to attract the person they just put in. I would propose that we modify that to 3 years. That would be off limit. In other words, in there, they would agree that they could not talk to the person that they found for us.
Last paper
we hired, and that we hired Their agreement was they couldn't talk to them about another job somewhere else for 2 years.
Right.
I'm thinking that'll be at least three. I don't want us to get a 2 year person in here.
The only thing, Dave, that I would mention is that might keep us from, I mean, it might be easy to modify, but if it isn't, then it just takes more time.
Yeah. Well, that ought to be awful easy to strike the word two and put in the word three. So
if they'll agree to it.
Yeah, I'm suggesting we propose that to them as a modification.
All right. All right, so I can certainly ask the question, or Ron, you can ask the question, but that, I don't know that necessarily requires formal action because we're not changing the, I assume, what this group needs to do is approve us moving forward with this document. If we're able to get the additional year, great. And if not, are you still okay with moving forward with this document?
But again, I'm not hoping to have a 2 year person in here. And as soon as they get 2 years on there, they're then coming to this person and say, we got a job for you over here in Atlanta. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I you've been having those conversations. I would leave it to you to.
Fine, that's fine. Any other comments about the contract? Ron, any?
No, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Is there a motion?
This motion is to go to the board?
No, I think now we have the ability to sign the contract. Right. The board delegated to right. The executive committee. All
right. I so moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, it's unanimous. We'll sign this. I'll ask for the 3 years. Any new business?
I did want to just let you know that Asa Williams from the EDA will be here tomorrow. We're going to meet with him to discuss the reimbursement process, just to make sure if there are any questions, we get those answered, and then also so he can visit the project site, since they're apparently now allowed to travel.
And Greg today will be here on the 20th.
Yeah.
From the EDA.
Again, same kind of thing, just touring the site. Not going to be a big production. They just want to touch base.
They just want to make sure dirt moves over. Mm-hmm.
See what they're investing in.
What? That dirt has already moved, and they're coming to our place too for the one that they funded for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you using
it? They think they're coming to you right after.
Mm-hmm.
We're here in September, two different grants.
Yes. Yeah, we'll hear the state of Florida and at some point anticipated September the EDA grant, which then funds beginning in November.
Okay. Any other comments? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
One second.
Meeting is adjourned.